Psalm 94:19 is a great source of peace in troubled times. It reads, "When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." I am Rob West. Whenever you face uncertainties, financial or otherwise, God's Word is filled with reminders that He's always with you. A great way to overcome your fears is to count your blessings. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so if your 401k is looking more like a 201k, you're not alone. Or maybe you just pulled away from the gas pump after spending a pretty penny filling your tank. Or you recently gasped at the total in the grocery store checkout line. Stocks fall and inflation happens. So in times like these, it's good to stop a moment and focus on finding some peace in the middle of all of the uncertainty. When financial circumstances are knocking you down, what you need is something to hang on to, something that's permanent, reliable, and true. The best place to start is always God's Word. In James 1:17, we read, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Understanding this truth can help us navigate the stormy times. Let's unpack it, and that starts with understanding that God is the source of every blessing, and He's given you many. You have the ability to openly worship and follow God. Our religious freedom in America is a rarity, not just in the world, but in all of history. It's a blessing we take for granted because we've always had it in our lives, but we should include it in our prayers of praise and thank God for it. Your freedom also extends to many areas of your life. You can choose where you live and how you earn a living. You can vote for who represents you in local, state, and national elections. In many parts of the world, those blessings are unheard of. You have family and friends to share your joy and hardships with, shelter, transportation, food on the table, and clothes to wear. When was the last time you thanked God for those things? Every true blessing flows from Him, even your health, and every breath you take is a blessing from God. Here's another blessing you might take for granted. While almost everything in the world is subject to change, God is not. He's fully worthy of your trust. You can count on Him whenever the world lets you down. Economic forecasts, your bank account, and even your emotions can change like shifting shadows. But God isn't like that. He is good all the time. His character is fixed. In Christ, we see God's love for us in action. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can face every day with peace and confidence in God's unchanging love, provision, and peace. Hebrews 13 confirms the character of God in verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The scripture I read earlier from James 1:17 follows with a description of all the trials we might face as we run the race of life. Whether you're just starting out or finishing the race, you can trust God's goodness now and in the future. Your circumstances don't change God's character. So if the current economic climate scares you, try thinking about it with an eternal perspective. All the financial resources are God's anyway. He owns everything, including you, and He remains in control. Not a single atom in the universe moves without His command. So God has His part and you have yours. You do your best with what you have, preparing the best you can, and trust the Lord to handle the rest. Even when you feel powerless to change your circumstances, rest assured that God provides His Holy Spirit to protect and support you each day as you walk with Christ. Whenever you feel yourself wavering, when fear begins to take hold in your thoughts, remember Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You may not know what lies ahead, but God certainly does, and He doesn't want you to waste time worrying about it. Instead, He wants you to always look to Him for your provision. How do you know that? Well, Jeremiah 29, 11, and 12 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Well, I hope that's given you some comfort in these uncertain times. Much more to come just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Christians are called to live their life coram Deo. It's a fancy theologian's word for living life as if you're before the Lord's face at all times. Coram Deo means before the face of God. Sometimes we imagine that face to be frowning or glaring at us, especially when we fall into sin. But that's not the case. If we are in Christ, it means we're under His smile. So David's words from 1 Chronicles 16 brings joy. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. In Christ, that face is smiling at us, not frowning. Because in Jesus, our sin has been dealt with. Our reason for fear has been taken care of. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, mm-hmm. but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a great show coming up for you today. We're going to unpack your questions today on anything financial. We'll tackle a couple of emails, some great ones that came in from you, our listeners, and askrob@faithfi.com. Let's jump right in. Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Beverly. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Oh, and hi to the little one in the back. That's great.
Okay. I have, we at least, it was a couple of, three of us, we had went on a vacation in Orlando.
Yes,
and they ended up that we bought a timeshare.
Okay.
And was told that we could sell it or cancel it, not really cancel it in a time because they give you a certain amount of time to cancel, but you can sell it if you, you know, want it to. But now that we want to give it up and they are telling us that we cannot give it up and we can't sell it until we finish paying off for it, which we had bought it in August of last year.
Yeah.
So can you give me advice on that?
Sure. Let me ask you, Beverly, was there anything in the contract or the agreement that you signed that spoke to this issue of how you were to go about selling it if you wanted to?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So the challenge here is, you know, I really don't ever get called. I'm sure there's people out there who've bought timeshares and love them. I just don't hear from them. So we hear from people all the time that really want to get out of these, which should serve as a warning to those who are considering it, just to make sure that you are going to use it and that you have a way to get out of it. Because obviously those that are selling these timeshares want to look for new sales. They are not as interested in making a market for people who already have timeshares to sell them to others, because there's not any commissions, you know, built into that process. So often they are very difficult to unload. And most of the time, the company that sold it to you has no incentive to buy it back or to try to help you get it sold. So I would always start with the documents that you signed, just to see what rights you have and what commitments they made to be a party to allowing you to sell it and how you might go about that. Or if there's a prohibition against selling it prior to getting it paid off in full. Ideally, what you would do would be find somebody who'd be willing to take on the payments so that they could use it and enjoy it, but basically pick up from where you left off. Worst case scenario, you'd continue paying it until it's paid, and then you'd find somebody to either buy it or just take it away from you, and they would agree at that point to take on the maintenance expense. But you'd have to ensure that in doing so, you are transferring that responsibility, because if you retain that contractual responsibility to keep the maintenance fees paid and they fail to do so, it may actually be you that's still on the hook for that. So you'd need to look into that. A couple of thoughts is I would always start with an attorney looking at the sales contract. Beyond that, I would, you know, perhaps talk to the management company that sold it to you, see if they have a way for you to sell it. You can check out a website on the internet. It's at tug2.com, T-U-G and the number 2.com. That stands for Timeshare Users Group. And it's a community of timeshare owners who offer advice and share their experience. And one of the first things they'll tell you is never pay any upfront fees when you're trying to sell your timeshare. Some companies want you to pay before they take you on as a client. Don't do it. You can also try to see if you can find somebody in that marketplace that would be willing to take it on or buy it. Sometimes there are folks looking to buy them in there. And then, as I mentioned, you can look at giving it back to the company. It's called a deed back. But again, for that to work, it has to be paid off, to your point, and you can't owe any back fees or taxes. If you did it that way with the deed back, then you would be getting out of any further responsibility for it, which is obviously key. So I think those are your next steps. Unfortunately, there's not going to be a simple way to go about this, but I do think you need to, you know, explore those to see if you can find a way forward. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, very good. So I think your next steps are review the contract, perhaps with an attorney, check out tug2.com, see if you can do a deed back. But again, that's going to mean that you got to pay it off in full, so that might take some time, and then find out if you could give it away and transfer that responsibility to someone else. Thanks for your call, Beverly. Keep us posted on how this goes. Let's see. Let's head to Tennessee. Tammy, you're up next. Go ahead.
Yes, I am 64 years old, and I have some debt. It's basically credit cards and then some loan. It's buy now, pay later loans.
Okay.
And I'm wanting to find out what my best recourse is to get these paid off. Should I take out a loan, or just what I had thought is just get a hold of them and say, I'm paying off these bills at one at a time. Once I get one paid, you know, I don't want to get further in debt. So this is what I'd like to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. I certainly understand that. And you're living on a fixed income, which makes it challenging, Tammy. Do you have anything set aside in what I would call an emergency fund so we can break the cycle of charging when the unexpected comes, even $500 or $1,000?
No.
Okay. I think you've got to start there. When all your bills are paid, and again, I realize it's tight, but when all your bills are paid, including the minimum payments on all these cards, what do you have left over at the end of the month?
About 100, if even that.
Okay. All right. So I would probably, you know, take a couple of months and try to build up a little bit of a cushion, maybe a couple of $100, just so if something comes out of left field that you weren't planning, we're not going back to the credit cards, because we've got to break that cycle. And I realize this is challenging. I'm not saying it's easy, but I want to get out of using these cards once and for all. How much do you owe on the credit cards?
All together, my bills are no more than $7,000, maybe not even $5,000.
And that's the debt that you have?
Yeah. These are okay. Credit cards that have, they'll give you $300. I have very bad credit, so it sees where they're trying to build your credit again. You will give you $300, and then it just doesn't work. I end up getting myself in trouble.
Yeah, we don't need to do that anymore. So somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000. Does that include the buy now, pay later?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What I would do from here, Tammy, is I would contact my friends at Christian Credit Counselors. Here's the thing. The best approach for this is not to try to take out a new loan, because that's going to take the pressure off. And if we haven't solved the underlying issue, the credit card debt's going to come back. What we need to do is get the interest rates down so that more of what you're sending every month is going toward principal. And we need to find one fixed monthly payment, a level payment, so that as the balance comes down, we're still sending the same amount that fits in your budget, but that snowball effect of sending a larger percentage of the balance every month is going to let you pay that off 80% faster. I'd like to start there. These are godly people who work with folks who are in credit card debt every day. And the combination, again, of getting that interest rate down plus one fixed monthly payment that fits in your budget is going to allow you to actually make some progress, as opposed to right now where you're probably just treading water. So if you're comfortable going on the internet, go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. If you're not, stay on the line and my team will give you the phone number. Thanks for calling today. All the best to you, Tammy. This is Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. What a privilege it is to come alongside you to help you manage God's money, to be a wise and faithful steward. That's our goal, faithfulness. Those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We read from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. What does faithfulness look like? Well, it means understanding our role as money managers for the King of Kings. But it's bigger than that, because the reality is we know that money is one of the things that will compete most often with God for first position in our lives. That's what we see in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, Jesus and his explanation to the disciples on what was going to choke out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return. He said it's the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things. These are the things of this world, the temporal, that can really crowd out God from being in first place in our lives. Remember, it's very clear in Scripture, you cannot serve both God and money. So the opportunity we have is really to really guard our hearts against allowing money to become an idol. Well, we do that by holding it loosely, by accepting God's provision and recognizing God's provision is complete and it's enough, and we need to live within it. And then we need to give generously, because giving is one of the only things that breaks the power of money over our lives. I love what my friend Todd Harper says. He says, I've never met an unhappy, generous person. And that's the way it should be. That's the way God hardwired us. We're created in the image of the ultimate giver. So when we're giving, we're most like him, I like to say. We calibrate our hearts to the Father, and the blessing is we get to participate in his activity. Try it today. Think about how you can be intentionally more generous, have more gratitude in your life for all that God has blessed us with, and see if that doesn't reorient your thinking toward how you can use money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. All right, let's head back to the phones. All the lines full. So we're going to dive in to Shreveport, Louisiana. Nancy, how can I help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is whether it would hurt my credit rating to close a MasterCard that was taken out in November last year when I was trying to get out of a timeshare. And this was part of the deal. I ended up getting out of that contract.
Great.
But the MasterCard still came, and I have not even activated it, but just didn't know whether that would hurt to just go ahead and close it.
You know, it wouldn't, Nancy, but one thing you may want to do is just pull a copy of your credit reports, which will be no cost to you, at annualcreditreport.com. That's the government's website where you can access your credit reports from the three bureaus, Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and just see if that's showing as an open account. It's probably not. Given the fact that you never activated it, it probably is not even showing as an open account. But in the event that it is, or you would just feel better calling them and saying, listen, regardless, I want you to consider this closed. I don't plan to activate it. You could certainly do that. That's not going to negatively impact you. Anything that would have temporarily reduced your score would have already happened. So, for instance, the inquiry that would have been done into your credit to see whether you could qualify for that new loan, that would have reduced your score slightly. That's in the past now. And the fact that this was never opened, it means that that was never added to your total available credit, which is now being removed. So there's really not going to be any effect on you on this. So you could either just call them and talk to the company about it, or pull your credit reports to see if in fact it's even listed, and you may find that it isn't. Okay?
Okay. Well, on the thing that I get from the bank that is supposedly something like from TransUnion, it is showing up on that.
Okay. But, and is it showing as an open account?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then I would call them and just let them know that you don't have any use for it. You'd like to go ahead and close it. That's not going to impact you negatively. It's not like it's an older account that has a long history that's being taken away or, anything like that. Are you carrying a balance on any other cards?
No, I pay them off each month. So I've got three other cards, actually two other credit cards, and I pay them off each month.
Yeah. So, the only factor would just be if this is showing as an open account, then that available credit is a part of your credit utilization, which what you're charging every month, even though you're paying it off, if you pay it off after the end of the cycle date, the total charges for the month are showing up on your credit report. And the percentage of those charges to all of the credit you have available to you, if that rises over 30%, that will reduce your score. And so if by taking this one out of the mix, that causes those monthly charges to trip up, over that 30% threshold, that's the only way this could impact you negatively. Beyond that, there really isn't another way.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Nancy. Absolutely. Thanks for calling. To Plainfield, Illinois. Hi, Addie. Go right ahead. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call and all your advice.
Thank you.
So my question is, I'm 60 years old, and through work, the financial people that help us do work, they advised me to open, I believe it was like a Roth IRA or something, because it has to be open for 5 years prior to me moving anything into it. But I didn't understand what they meant. So I have opened an IRA with Schwab, but there's nothing in it yet. I haven't funded it yet, but I don't know the purpose of it, like why I did that.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on that, too. The five-year rule on Roths says that you have to wait 5 years before withdrawing any converted balances or withdrawing any contributions in order to be able to get the tax-free withdrawal after 59 and a half. It shouldn't have anything to do with you contributing to that Roth. Do you have a company-sponsored plan at work?
Yes. So
okay,
I guess he told me that, I guess once I retire, I guess to be able to move my money into something, I guess that plan had us been open for 5 years.
I see. Okay, yeah. So if you're going to roll a Roth 401k in or convert it, then you would have it open. So that's fine. Yeah, you can just let it sit there and wait until your retirement. That's going to start that clock running. So that's probably what he was getting after, and that makes sense to me. So I appreciate you calling today. You hang on the line. We'll talk a little bit more off the air and make sure you're clear on that. We'll be back with more questions after this. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, taking your calls and questions. All right, let's head back to the phones. Durant, Iowa. Hi, Grace. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I'm selling a farm privately, and the contract was drawn up, you know, by our lawyer, but I need to know how about reporting this on my income, and, you know, there's being interest paid each month by the buyer, and do they need a 1099 interest form? And if so, how do we get that, or, you know?
Yes. Okay, so they've been, go ahead.
Yeah, I just didn't know for sure how I was supposed to go about this.
Yes. Well, first of all, so they have been renting it from you, or have you been holding a mortgage on it? How are you getting the interest prior to the sale?
They were just renting.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So that would be, you know, reported on your taxes. Ultimately, when you sell it, you're going to pay capital gains on it, and that's reported on Schedule D of your 1040. And if as long as you have income as a single filer in 2023 over $44,625 and less than $459,000, you'll pay a 15% long-term capital gain rate if you held that property more than a year. Are you selling it to them this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been paying, you know, the whole year.
Okay. All right, very good. But the sale to them, you're actually selling them the property, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so then the difference between the selling price and the cost basis would be your gain, and as long as you held that for more than a year, that would be reported on Schedule D as capital gains. And then you would report the interest that you took in as well, and you'd be able to offset that you know, with any expenses, but you'd report that as well, and you know, on your taxes. So I think this is the year, if you don't normally use a tax preparer, to do that, just to make sure that you take full advantage of any deductions, especially as you're calculating that cost basis to determine, you know, what your true cost basis is versus your selling price. You know, I would work with your CPA or accountant, or if you don't have one, I'd connect with one this year just to make sure that all of that is filed appropriately. All the best to you, Grace. Congrats on this upcoming sale. I'm sure that is exciting for you. Thanks for calling today. To Miami, Florida. Hi, Spencer. How can I help you?
Mr. West, thank you so very much for taking my call. Your program has been a blessing to me, financially speaking, for the past few years.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a 403B with Valic. The company changes the name to another name now. My last statement, I had a balance of $39,000. But prior to my last statement, which was in September last year, the balance was $52,000.
52 or 62?
It was 52.
52,000, okay.
Correct. So when I received my last statement in December, the balance went down to 39,000.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have a meeting with my financial advisor. So I'm wondering, do I still, make my systematic contribution towards that, or do I remove it? If so, what will be your suggestions on that?
Yeah, so you got a statement in September. The statement showing 39,000, that was a 12/31 statement. Is that right?
No, the statement I have is in September was 52,000.
Right, but what's the date on the statement showing 39,000?
That was the beginning of January.
Okay. All right. So you've got a 25% decline in a quarter's time. I mean, the end of the year was tough. Market has recovered. I suspect it's up somewhat from that low point that you saw there in early January. But that's a lot. So I would be asking the question, kind of, what am I invested in? How did it perform against the market indexes that are equivalent to my investment allocation? And, have them talk you through that, and then just decide based on your age and risk tolerance, what you're trying to accomplish, whether or not you're in the right investments. You're still with the company that offers the VALIC plan. Is that right?
Yes, I'm still with the company.
Okay. Yeah. So you really can't, the only thing you could do would be to change the investments inside the plan, depending upon what they are and what the investment strategy is. I'd be inclined for you to wait for this to recover and keep contributing to it, because keep in mind, as you dollar cost average into this portfolio, you're buying stocks at a discount. I mean, everybody's portfolios are down, although, the start to the year has been positive. Everybody's down, which means with the same salary deferral amount, you're buying more shares with the same amount, because these stocks and bonds are cheaper right now. That's a good thing, because as the market recovers, whether that's, next quarter or next year, you'll benefit from that. And I think the key is to play the long game. And then at some point, as this account recovers, it would be important to look at, was I too aggressively positioned for my age and objectives? And, should I make some changes to perhaps get a bit more conservative? Or no, I was invested right. I've got time on my side. I'm willing to take the volatility because I'm looking at the long-term gain potential of being invested with this money. How far are you away from retirement, Spencer?
I'm 54 now, and I'm looking forward, if God's will, to be in the market for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's the good thing, is that you've got a long runway here. And so I think the key for you is your most powerful wealth building tool is your income, because if you can limit your lifestyle and just systematically fund this account over time, you will build wealth and the market will help for you to overcome the effects of inflation. I just would want you to kind of look into and have that open and honest dialogue with your advisor as to what happened, why, how am I invested? Should we be looking at making changes down the road? But apart from that, I think I would keep systematically contributing and look at this as a long-term investment. Okay.
Great. Before you go, I've heard you talk about the government saving, like you can invest $1,000 per year. I mean, even though I don't have an answer with you now, but can you touch base on that whenever you have a chance on the program once again, if it's possible?
Just describe that just a bit more to me. I didn't follow that with the $1,000 a year.
This was like a government type of investment with the government fund, something like that.
Maybe the I-bonds?
The I bonds, correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I can certainly do that. And we have a couple of programs on that. If you want to go to our website, faithfi.com, and search for I bonds. Essentially, these are inflation bonds issued by the U.S. government. You can put in up to $10,000 a year. I would look at perhaps an I bond investment. You can't use retirement money. And I would only look at money that has a 1 to 5 year time horizon, because you can't touch it for a year. But if you're investing for more than 5 years, this is not a good place to be, because I think this high inflation is temporary. The I-bonds are pegged to inflation right now, paying 6.8%. That will reset in May, and it's going to be based on the consumer price index. So if you have money between 1 and 5 years, you might consider putting in $10,000. You can do it at treasurydirect.gov. And for more information, check out our website. We'll be right back.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your Heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, folks, as we think about our money, here's the big idea. We want to slay the money god, if you will. We want to recognize that our money is a tool given to us by God because it belongs to Him, and we can't have it become an idol in our lives. If ultimately, it becomes the end and not a means to an end, then we've not put it in its proper place. You see, we've allowed it to occupy a place that only rightfully belongs to God Himself. But when it's put in its place as a tool to accomplish God's purposes, wow, it's a powerful tool because we can help others on our path and we can use it to build relationships and to provide for our families, but do it in a way that allows us to work out our faith through our spending decisions so we're drawn into a more intimate relationship with the Lord. That's the big idea on this program each day, as we want to encourage and equip you with godly wisdom and principles, not from me, but from God's word to apply to your financial advice. If you'd like to learn more, download our app or check out all the content on our website. You can do it at faithfi.com. By the way, while you're there, if you'd like to support the ministry, we'd be grateful. You can give right there on the homepage, faithfi.com. Thanks in advance. All right, back to the phones. Let's try to get to as many questions as we can. All the lines full. We'll head to Coconut Creek, Florida. Michael, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hi, Rob. This is Michael. I had a question about, we have money in the traditional brick and mortar bank savings and checking accounts. And we feel like, you know, here's a lot of high interest other banks. We can keep money that we need liquid, you know, for, yeah, you know, emergency funds and things like that, between $15,000 to $30,000, and we're just wondering, you know, what banks you might recommend that allow liquidity and the highest interest in both bank checking and savings.
Yeah, are you comfortable using an online bank, Michael?
Yeah, we haven't used an online bank before, but we would be open to that.
Yeah. Well, that's one way you can go. You know, the way I structure things is to have my local bank where I could walk in or drive through if I wanted to for my checking account. But then with a savings account, I use an online bank that's linked electronically. So with the ACH transfer system, you know, within a couple of days at no cost, you can transfer money back and forth. The great thing about the online banks is, you know, they have very high interest rates and no fees. So you could even set up multiple savings accounts for savings targets or goals. You could do that in the FaithFi app, or you can do it with actual physical accounts. But in either case, you know, you'd be getting rates right now on FDIC insured savings, fully liquid, you know, at 3.6% or higher. Whereas, you know, with a typical brick and mortar bank, you might be getting 0.1%. So I would look at bankrate.com to determine who has the best rates right now. I'll give you three that I like just because they have great customer service and they're known for their very high interest rates. Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y, Marcus.com, that's the retail operation of Goldman Sachs, and then Capital One 360. Any of those would provide you really high rates. You can use them for checking too. You just may find that you'd rather use a, you know, brick and mortar checking just to be able to walk in and see somebody face to face if that's important to you. So that would be the direction I'd go. And again, if you want to do research on other options, you could go to bankrate.com. I would also mention that, you know, more and more of our listeners are looking for a Christian solution, a faith-aligned solution for their banking needs, both savings and CDs as well as loans. And our friends at Christian Community Credit Union would be delighted to help you. And part of what you're investing in is they're taking a portion of what they receive and giving it away to further the gospel in a variety of areas. You can learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. But Michael, is that helpful to you?
It is. Thank you. And also, just a question. I saw another one that you didn't mention was SoFi. That one says they have checking and savings. They look like they had a high. Would you recommend that one as well? Or
yeah, I would. I mean, it'll be FDIC insured. They've been around for a while now. They're a fairly large institution, and they are pretty aggressive when it comes to the rates. So they would be right up there typically in terms of both savings and checking with the ones that I mentioned. Yeah, so I would certainly be fine with that. Michael, thanks for checking in with us, sir. Francis in Pompano Beach, just down the street from Coconut Creek. How can we help you?
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show. My question is this. So my husband passed away and he had a 401k. I transferred it over to an inherited 401k, and they told me that I could not take anything out from it until 67 years old. Just wanted to make sure that was right.
So there are very specific rules for inherited IRAs in terms of how you go about taking that money out. And so I think the key there is to work with your CPA. Who was the one that you were talking to about this?
It's at Fidelity is the company that runs, I guess, the 401k. It's for CBS or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So they should be able to give you the best information on what that looks like in terms of how you go about taking that money out. The rules did change fairly recently with regard to the distribution on that. There, you know, is no rule necessarily that you have to wait until 67 to withdraw the funds from a spousal inherited IRA in particular. So I think it would be worth talking to your CPA and just saying, based on the date of death and the situation here, when, you know, do I need to take this out, if at all, or could I just let it continue to grow and take it out just based on my own, age and the rules there for when I would need to start taking required minimums. That's probably what you'll find, is that you would just need to begin taking required minimum distributions on this. But there's been a number of changes as of late. And so that's why I think, Francis, you'd be well served to talk to a CPA about this. Do you have a tax preparer that you work with?
I do. So they would know about it, because there's another 401k that he had that I was the beneficiary on, and it you know, I was automatically put on there. And I thought they told me that as a widow, I could take it out at 59, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I think your CPA is going to be able to look exactly at the situation. And again, a lot of this has been changing as of late. So it's going to come back to the date of death. And they can tell you as a spouse, you would have certain exclusions on some of these rules, exactly when you need to take it out. What is your hope? Are you hoping to leave it in there and just take it out through the required minimums? Or are you wanting to take a more significant distribution right now?
Well, I was going to leave one of them in there until, you know, 65. But if I have to leave it till 67, then, you know, yeah, I don't want to pay taxes. I was going to take the other one out a little earlier. But I don't, if I have to leave it in there, then I would. I was going to give it to the kids. If I could take one out earlier, I would just give it to the kids. That was my plan. But they're telling me, you know, you pay taxes if you take it out, and it's pretty high. So
yeah, you know, certainly will pay taxes as the money comes out. So that's really going to be the key, is looking into what is the required withdrawal rate that you'll have to follow, and they can tell you that. So I would connect with your CPA, and he or she can really outline all of this for you and make sure that you're doing this right, because you obviously want to follow the IRS's rules and regulations on this. And it has been changing as of late, specifically with the Secure Act. It changed these required minimums for inherited IRAs a pretty good bit. So take a look at that. If we can help you further along the way, Francis, let us know. God bless you. To Orlando, Florida. Hey, Matt, how can I help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am calling because I'm fixing to get rid of a car loan, and the only debt I'd have left at that point would be my house, so a home loan. And I was wondering if you had, a good strategy to give to me to get debt free, pretty much.
Yeah, very good. So tell me the debt that you have today.
Well, in 2 months, I'll get rid of this $800 payment that I do on my truck every month.
Okay.
And so that's $2,000, or a little less than. About $1,600 left on that, and okay. I have $125 on the house.
Okay, so after 2 months, you'll be debt-free except for your home, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and what will you have extra per month once the truck is paid off?
$800.
$800 a month.
$850 actually. But...
Okay, great. And do you have an emergency fund, Matt, of 3 to 6 months' expenses?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and are you contributing to a retirement plan at work?
No, sir.
Okay. Do you have one available to you, or are you self-employed?
I'm not self-employed, but they're not providing that at where I'm working at. And I change job a lot, so okay. I'm a tradesman, so I can be working with one company 6 months and someone else for the rest of the year.
Gotcha. But you typically are W-2 employed when you are working?
Yeah, I do 1099 once in a while, but typically.
Okay. Yeah, so I would get started on that before I'd focus on getting the house paid off and open a Roth IRA for you, and if you're married, you and your wife. If you're under age 50, you could put in $6,500 each, so that's $13,000 this year. And I'd do that at Fidelity or Schwab and use their intelligent portfolios. Beyond that, once you have the emergency fund and you're contributing to retirement, then I think absolutely starting to accelerate that mortgage payoff, just send that extra amount that you have with your check that covers your scheduled payment, and then you'd send an amount over and above that. That's going to help you get that paid off much quicker. Thanks, Matt. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Couldn't do it without my amazing team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, to pushing all the buttons, making everything happen. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great Friday, a wonderful weekend, and come back and join us on Monday. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.